Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Your attention as you're greeting one another and calling you in and gathering you for worship. Love Christmas music. Just love it. Can't get enough of it. Especially the good Christmas music. You know, not all Christmas music is created equal. Some are better than others, but this series that we're in Advent 2023 is music inspired by the manger. The manger, this incredible scene right out of Scripture. So turn to Luke chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 7 with you. And how many songs have been inspired by what happened at the manger? Too many to count. As I said last week, I can't recall any event in all of human history that has inspired more songs, more music, more artistry than the manger. And so in this series, we're going to do just as much singing, if not more, than I am going to do preaching, because I've come to believe that the Christmas message can be even more effectively proclaimed by song, if not just through the spoken word. So let's allow the scriptures to speak for themselves as we focus on the Lord and preparing our hearts for his arrival on this second Sunday of Advent. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Heavenly Father, as I read this passage, I'm thinking of our daughter-in-law who is about to give birth to our second grandbaby in about 5-6 weeks or so. And there's something so special and precious about how in your beautiful natural order, a woman can carry a precious child. And the anticipation and the preparation all that brings, the joy, the love, it is a precious thing to hold a baby, to welcome a baby into this world, to watch that baby grow and smile and laugh and learn. Like the kids here in church this morning, I love their sounds. The sounds of innocence and laughter and joy. And we think about this baby that we read about here in Luke. A baby and yet no ordinary baby. And there's so much to unpack in this first Christmas story that So many songs have been inspired by it, and I pray, Lord, through the songs that we hear today and the Word of God that has come alive, that we too will prepare our hearts for this precious child. And all God's people said, Amen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. All the angels sing hallelujah. Jesus Christ is born. All the children sing hallelujah. He is Christ the Lord. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. He is born to give us life. Savior is born. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Renee. We're going to have special music a lot in this series because so much music has been inspired by the manger. There's a controversy brewing in our neighborhood. I'm part of one of those neighborhood app things that tell you what's going on in the neighborhood, and some of the people in our neighborhood are a little upset because they're noting that not as many houses this year are decorating for Christmas. And as I drive around in our neighborhood, I can see that's true, but also I'm guilty of that as well, too. because we don't have any exterior decorations on our house. A big part of the reason for that is a lack of preparation on my part. I mean, I've got Christmas lights all messed up and rolled up in balls in the shed, in the back of the shed, along with other Christmas decorations. And had I planned properly in the fall, I would have dug through the shed and gotten all my stuff out and started working on the Christmas lights, right, and untangling them and making sure the bulbs work. It was just poor planning on my part. Plus, yesterday, I just turned 52 years old. Now, I've always been afraid of heights. And so, if I didn't want to get on a ladder and put up Christmas lights and decorations when I was 25, what makes me think I'm going to want to get on a ladder when I'm 52? And not only that, but let's say I did plan properly and I had all the decorations laid out. Yesterday would have been a good day to put up the decorations, but it started raining, and who wants to be outside on a ladder in the rain when the temperature is 41 degrees? So I have to admit, I'm part of the problem. This year, I'm late in putting up Christmas lights and decorations, if it even happens. But the reality is, we have to plan for Christmas. There are people, thankfully, who are on the ball, and their homes look wonderful. Their homes look great, and, you know, we like driving around looking at lights. Who doesn't like doing that? I read this story here in Luke chapter 2, and we find that Mary and Joseph make their way to Bethlehem. And we see here, at the very last part of the portion of scripture that I just read to you, that there was no room for them in the inn. It's as if Bethlehem had forgotten that God had chosen them, God had handpicked that city to be the city where the Savior would be born. It shouldn't have come as a surprise to them. It was prophesied centuries earlier. We read in Micah chapter 2, verse 5, the prophecy of Micah, one of the Hebrew prophets. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. It's right there in their history. It's not like it should have caught them by surprise. It was prophesied. Bethlehem, you're a small city. You're kind of out of the way. There's really not much notable about you, but it is prophesied that from you will come this one who will save the world. Be ready. Be prepared. And yet, even with all the hustle and bustle of what's going on, and yes, I get that the Romans had added this census to be placed upon them. I get that they were busy, and I get that there's a lot going on. And yet, Bethlehem had forgotten that they were hand-picked by God to birth the Son of God. You would think an astute student of rabbinic oral tradition would constantly be the one saying, Bethlehem, be ready. We don't know how this is going to happen. We don't know when this is going to happen. Bethlehem, be ready. Be ready. You would think that one of the leading rabbis in the area would be the herald to the city. Bethlehem, be ready. Be ready. Messiah is to come from within us. Be ready. Be prepared. And yet, what do we see here in Luke chapter 2? There was no room for this young couple and the woman who was pregnant. No room for her to give birth to the Son of God. I think part of Bethlehem's problem was exactly what Micah said. though you are small. Bethlehem, you're small, you're insignificant. It's not like people go out of the way to sightsee through Bethlehem. But I think that's maybe our problem as well today. We think we're small. We think we're insignificant. What would God want with me? What do I have to offer? There are more important people in the world. There are more important things that God needs to be dealing with other than my issues. What do I have to prepare for? What do I have to be ready for? And I think Micah nails it on the head. The part of Bethlehem's problem was they were small, they were insignificant. How could God use Bethlehem in the larger, grand scheme of things to bring about the salvation of the world? And yet, one of the things the Christmas story reminds us repeatedly is that we must be prepared. God wants to do something in and through us, though we may be small, though we may be insignificant, though we may not see ourselves as anything grand. God wants to do something in and through us, but we must be ready. But just as Bethlehem was not ready, I'm afraid way too many people are not ready even today. We sing that great Christmas song, Joy to the World. I love that song. But there's a line in that song that we're going to sing here in just a moment that says, let every heart prepare him room. I've been singing this Christmas hymn since I was a little kid. And maybe like you, you kind of just bypass that line. I don't think we can bypass it any longer. Christ wants to do something great in and through his church, in and through his people. He's done it before. He wants to do it again. And yet we must be ready. Let every heart be prepared so that he has the room, the space, to allow him to do what he wants to do through us. And so let's sing this great song together. But let's not bypass that line any longer. Let every heart prepare him room.
You rule the world.
That every heart, every home, every church, every community would be prepared for the Christ this season. Bethlehem, handpicked by God, chosen by God to be the birthplace of the King of Kings, and yet there was no room anywhere in the city other than a manger. We must be prepared for what God wants to do, what God wants to birth in and through us. Because if we're not prepared, we can miss out on what God has in store for us. The first coming of God into our world is perhaps one of the most joyous events that we can think of, the birth of a child. Jesus likens his second coming to our world to another wonderful event, and that is of a wedding. Who doesn't like to go to a wedding? I know I would much rather officiate a wedding than a funeral. Amen. But Jesus also taught that we must be prepared for his second coming, lest we miss out on that as well. So if you look at Matthew 25, Jesus gave an entire parable about this. Because just as too many people were not prepared and missed out on his first coming, Jesus teaches that in spite of all the warnings, and even with the countless of preachers and prophets who have spoken and said, be ready, be ready, be ready, there will be those who will not be ready. Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming. That, to me, is an important phrase. Long time coming. It's been 2,000 years since the first coming of Christ. That's a long time in human terms. Maybe not in God's terms, for like, as the Bible teaches, 1,000 years with us is like a day under the Lord. But from a human perspective, 2,000 years is a long time. And so we read here, the bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy. That's also important to me. Not just the five foolish, but all of them became drowsy. And to me, if that's a picture of the church in America today, that's it right there. The church is drowsy. Even good, well-intentioned Christians. All became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us, open the door." But he replied, "I tell you the truth," he never lies, "I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." I don't know if you caught earlier, our worship team led us in that song, and one of the lines in that song was, "Therefore, he taught us to watch and pray." We must be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Too many people missed it the first time. Way too many people will miss it the second time. And we must be prepared. God wants to do something in and through His people. Now, today, this hour, are we prepared to receive what God wants to do in us? And someday there will be a literal second coming of the Lord, and we must watch and pray, be prepared, and be ready.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.